Welcome to the third episode of Two Women, a Movie, and a Microphone. My name is Anna.
And my name is Carrie. And all I can say is thank goodness Oscar season is over, and now we can get to the somewhat trashy but always entertaining spring and summer movies.
I second that sentiment. Who needs those independent, stuffy, self-absorbed movies when you can watch mindless entertainment?
Exactly. It's probably a good thing they only put those out in the winter time when everybody's depressed anyway.
Right. I don't like to think much when I go to my movies, so
right.
This is our favorite season.
Well, up first, this week they announced that Simon Baker, who, if you don't know him, where have you been hiding? He's in that show The Mentalist, also been in some pretty cool movies in the past. We'll have a new movie coming up about the first year of marriage. I love him, and I'm really excited to see him do something, even if it's not like a strict romantic comedy, but, you know, like a somewhat romantic movie, it sounds like, maybe, kind of.
Well, yeah, the article does not give a ton of details about what the movie's going to be about, so it's possible that it could sound like something depressing, but right. Actually is very romantic, which is often the case, I feel like, with romantic comedies.
But it's written by the guy who was a writer on the Ali G show, so I would expect there to be some humor in it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Simon, I don't watch The Mentalist, really, but if I watch it, it's because I love to watch Simon Baker, because he is so attractive.
I know. Yes.
All right, yeah, and the premise of the movie sounds interesting, too. It's about, or what's it called, I Give It a Year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's about basically just the first year of marriage and, you know, how
trials and tribulations
and how, like, adjusting to being married. And so I don't know. I kind of like the premise of it as well. So
yeah, I'm very intrigued.
Was there a date for that? Was it next year or this year?
There was not.
No. Okay.
Well, at least I don't remember reading that. Nah. It was very vague, very vague.
They usually are.
Right.
Now, if it is tax season, and if you get your tax money back and you have a spare $500 to spend, you could spend it on buying the Harry Potter Ultimate Edition box set.
Oh, wait, though. If you pre-order now on Amazon.com, it is a bargain price of $349.
Well, let me just run right over and sign up for that.
I know. But I love, love, love Harry Potter, but oh my god, I cannot spend $349.99 on a deluxe edition of the movies.
But how many discs do you get, Carrie, for that
$300? You get 31 discs.
31 discs.
Which, I mean, that's a lot of discs.
They did say, and I think in the article, didn't they say it figured out to like $11 a disc?
Yes.
So which, really, it's
a
bargain.
I mean, that is a bargain price. Plus, you get multiple specially produced collectible memorabilia items. I'd like to know what they are. Including concept art, a map of Hogwarts, and much more. Like, what is much more? I want to know.
You know what?
Are they sending me a Hogwarts robe and wand, too?
Oh.
I mean, if that's the case, this is a bargain. I am there. But if it's, like,
trading cards.
Right. Not so much a bargain.
No.
No.
It's so similar, not surprisingly, to the Lord of the Rings stuff. I think that the Lord of the Rings did a really, really good job marketing their movies and like their box sets and all that stuff. I think Harry Potter could have done a much better job.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I spent less than $100 on my Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, well, there were only
$350 is wicked expensive. Like, who can afford that?
But there were only three Lord of the Rings movies, whereas there are eight Harry Potter movies. Well, and I just think they could have, gosh dang, I think they missed so many opportunities. I don't know why they didn't take a page out of Lord of the Rings and do extended cuts, extended releases for all of those. I mean,
there are going to be extended cuts of Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets,
but that's only two. Imagine if they would have done what Lord of the Rings did, and after every movie, you wait 6 months, and then you release the extended edition, right?
I know.
Like, they could have, I think they missed it.
Although, to be fair, I was a little pissed about that, too, because I'm the one that's out there buying the first one, and then 6 months later buying the extended one.
Not me.
Well, aren't you smart?
I'm really, really amazed. I mean, I am just shocked, if at nothing else, that they didn't release extended cuts of all of their movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that way stupid people like you would go out and buy two versions of the movie. I mean,
thank you. Thanks for that.
And you know they have a ton of extra stuff that they could put in there. But
well, and there are, I mean, they are saying it's going to be a limited number that are available, but still, I don't know that I can spend that much money on it. It's just too much money.
Yeah. Oh God. No, I would never spend that much money on it. I don't buy a ton of movies in general, but I would not spend $350 anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. So I guess I did kind of know this, but I never really thought about this, but how, they are making a spin-off movie of the Les Grossman character who was in Tropic Thunder, and that's the character that Tom Cruise played. He was like the crazy, what was he, a producer or a whatever?
Yeah, I think he was like a producer.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen the movie, but they're going to make a spin-off movie. And now I'll be the first to admit, I fucking loved that character, and I love Tom Cruise in it, and he went up a couple notches in my book by even just agreeing to do that in general. And I loved it when he came, well, when, a couple years ago when he did, like, the MTV Music Awards, Movie Awards, mm-hmm. and he came out and did, like, another, you know, he came out in character, his Les Grossman character. But I just do not understand how they're going to make a 90-minute, spin-off feature off of this character.
Yeah, I think he's crazy funny in small doses. Do I want to sit and watch him for 90 minutes? Not really.
No.
And to be honest, I didn't really like Tropic Thunder that much. And it's not that I, like, wanted to walk out of the movie, but I didn't leave wanting to watch it again. So I can't really see myself wanting to first spend $10 to see this and then actually sit there for 90 minutes watching it.
I would agree with you. I didn't like his character so much that I want to watch a 90-minute feature with him.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just like funny little tidbits that he does.
And then it kind of loses its appeal, I think. You know, it loses that thing that kind of makes it even funnier. It's just like when you try and take SNL skits and make them into 90-minute features.
Right.
They rarely, rarely work. You know, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World was
the exception.
Quite the exception, yeah.
But otherwise, that's, you know, I can't think of any other SNL skits that translated. So I can kind of see.
Thanks for saying that, because now I'm going to be thinking about all of them for the rest of the night.
Oh, damn.
Just to see if there is another one that worked.
Oh, crap. I've opened Pandora's box.
Oh, well. It happens. So I did find it quite interesting that a guy in Michigan is suing his local AMC theater for price gouging for the prices of concessions. Concessions are, like, amazingly expensive, but also, I'm kind of like, big duh here. You know, concessions have never been cheap.
No.
I mean, I can't remember a time ever, like, even when I was a kid, where I would go to the movies and be like, Mom, can I have some M&Ms? And she'd be like, yeah, Carrie. No. Like, every time she'd be like, Carrie, no, they're too expensive. Like, concessions are expensive. It's just the way it is.
Yeah,
get over it.
Part of me agrees with you, and then the other part of me sees, I think my sort of understanding, one of the reasons he was doing it is not necessarily because he expected to win, but there is maybe a hope that this will sort of open the doors to sort of actually talk about it. And, like, because as far as I know, the theaters don't really talk a lot, and people always complain, like, amongst themselves, but they never have, like, gotten riled up and, like, complained to theaters and demanded an explanation. Why are they so high? You know, what's the deal?
Yeah, but I think the deal is that, I mean, it just, like, in this article it says, by having high prices on concessions, they're able to keep ticket prices lower.
Well, right.
And
the thing is, from what I understand, I mean, this is just one little article, but from what I understand, this article, that's all sort of like speculation to a certain degree. Like, there's never actually been, like, the theaters have never actually come out and said, this is why they're so high. And, like,
well, I would almost expect it, though, because, you know, I mean, have you ever gone to the movies where you've been in the theater and you've been, like, one of three people in the theater?
Yeah.
I mean, they have to somehow combat those types of situations.
Right.
Somehow. I mean, because not every show or every movie is going to be a huge draw.
Well, right. And they, I mean, in this article they make it, and they've made that point, and I've read other things too that's just like, theaters make their money off of concessions.
Right.
And all of the money that comes from tickets goes right back to the studios. So if they want to continue operating these huge theaters, then they feel like they're justified in, mm-hmm. you know, like they have, because if they want to make money. And
I feel like they're totally justified. You know, if somebody, okay, it's like bottled water. It's water
that
people will spend $2 or $3 to drink bottled water.
Right.
I mean, if people are willing to pay for it, let them pay for it. And if you're not willing to stick your M&Ms in your pocket when you walk in, and instead you insist on buying them for $6 at the concession stand, shame on you for not working around this.
Yeah, and like, I mean, anybody who's gone to spends any time at the movies knows that they have these like policies of no outsider food and drink, but they have, unless they're going to start instituting bag checks, there's no way they can enforce that.
Right.
I mean, I almost never buy the only time I buy, maybe if I want popcorn or if I have a coupon, that's the only time I really buy concessions.
Yeah, I rarely do.
Right, and I know people who bring ridiculous amounts of food into the theater. Like, it's not hard.
Yeah.
To sneak in your own
food. I usually take my baked souffle from Panera into the theater if I'm going on a Sunday morning matinee.
Well, aren't you fancy?
Yes, I am.
Right. I just feel like I accept that concessions are going to be high, and I feel like they have to know, they have to accept that people are going to bring food in on themselves no matter what
right.
the policy is.
Right, but I'm sure for every person who brings in food, they've got, like, four people spending outrageous amounts of money at the
You know, I was thinking, there was, I think it was a theater in Cedar Rapids, and I'm sure they had one in Des Moines, too. It was, like, the second-run theaters that, right, they would always have really cheap concessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we loved going to them, is because they always had really cheap concessions. So I think,
yeah.
But they don't have to pay as much. They don't have to pay the studios as much
right.
to play their movies because
right.
they're second run.
Yeah.
So that is one. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, there's very little. This suit is probably not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And there's very, very little chance that theaters are going to lower their concession prices. So continue to go ahead and sneak your concessions into the theater.
That's correct.
Sofia Coppola has a new movie coming out, and while I'm not a huge Sofia Coppola fan, like, I'm not a huge fan of her movies.
Can you name one movie that she's done that you've liked?
No.
Yeah.
They're a little bit too artsy for me.
They're boring. Let's just say it.
Fine.
They are boring.
They are artsy movies. They are the artsy boring movies, the ones that you know, people make fun of all the time. Absolutely
right.
But she's still...
except for the artsy boring people who go see them and then think that they're the most amazing thing in the world.
fine So, but you can't deny that she is a pretty good filmmaker. Even though her movies are really boring, I think she does make good films, even though I don't care to go see them.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't liked any of them.
But I'm just saying, like, cause the style that she shoots them in, I think her style, she's got a good style. And even though I don't really care for her style of movie in terms of, like, script and all that stuff, I think she does make good movies, just not in my style.
You know, we can agree to disagree on that one. You know, too many, like, long pauses and, like, panning scenery, like, I don't care.
Staring
whatever.
Into the camera. Yeah. Well, anyway, the only reason I bring this up is because Emma Watson has signed on to be in her new movie. And I am super interested to see if Emma Watson can actually act. Because some might disagree with me, but I think in the Harry Potter movies, she clearly demonstrates that she cannot act, as she is the worst actor of all of them. And even if some people say she did improve, in my opinion, very...
Some people meaning me.
Right. Well, Carrie, and there are other people who have said the same thing. It's like, she's improved. I was like, compared to the other two, I think she improves hardly at all. Like,
it's hard to tell, though, too, because, like, everybody else kind of did something else, but she never really did.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm interested to see if she can act. Because clearly these movies were not challenging her acting-wise. Because I gotta say, I will say that I disliked her character less by the last movie. But I still, of everybody, she was the one that irritated me the most. So I don't know if it's because of her or if it's because of her character in Harry Potter. But, Daniel Radcliffe, in my opinion, I think he's got skills. I'm not sure about Rupert Grint yet. I'm not
right.
Jury's still out on him, but he has potential. Emma Watson, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens and how she does.
That probably will not be enough to go get me to see that movie.
No, I'm not going to pay to see that movie. No. Are you kidding me?
I'll just see what the reviewers say.
Yeah.
And then judge her based on that.
Exactly. Or, like, I'll watch it, you know, on Netflix or something.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that sort of wraps up our news and gossip of the week. So now let's talk a little bit about what we actually saw at the movies this weekend. So, Carrie?
Well, I went to see The Lorax, and, you know, being a giant fan of animation, I thought, you know, it looks really cool, and surely it'll be wonderful. Sadly, what the trailer for The Lorax failed to tell me was that it was a musical. There were way more musical numbers than I was ever expecting to see this. And, shockingly enough, with leads, like, well, not I guess not leads, but with Taylor Swift and Zac Efron doing voices, they were not the ones singing the whole time.
What?
I know. It was actually Ed Helms who did most of the singing, which...
I love Ed Helms.
Right. You know, I do too, but it got to be a little much, and I didn't like it.
So who sang the girl?
it was just too much.
Who sang the girl? The girl's role. Taylor Swift.
Well, Taylor Swift. But they didn't hardly sing. Like, they sang in, like, the end, like, big ensemble number. But the majority of the movie was Ed Helms played the Onceler, who was the person, you know, the person that the Lorax came to after he started chopping down all the trees. So most of the movie was focused on his story. And so he was the one doing most of the singing.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the movie, the animation was really good. The trees looked amazing, and, like, I loved all the little creatures. You know, they were really cute, but, you know, it's like, cute can only get you so far when the story's not that great. I mean, not that it's a bad story or had a bad message, and to be fair, I did see it in a theater full of children, and they really seem to enjoy it. So, kids definitely really seem to enjoy it. As an adult, I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, I bet a lot of those parents probably weren't enjoying it either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, had I had a kid and taken a child, would I, like, have been happy that my child was happy watching it? I don't know. But, you know, it stayed very true to the book, very true to the message of, you know, kind of preserving our natural resources and making sure that, you know, we don't, you know, use everything without, with, you know, disregard to what we're doing to the environment. But, just as an entertaining movie, not so much entertaining.
The Lorax was the one Dr. Seuss book I think I owned when I was growing up. And to be honest, I don't think I really liked it that much because I hated I hated how preachy it was.
Well, like, I think the message, all of his books are a little bit preachy. But
what?
I think a lot of his books are a little bit preachy, but this one's definitely very preachy.
Yeah, that one, it just seems sort of, like, yeah, disgustingly obvious, you know. There was no hiding, there was no, you know, the message was just, like, right there in your face all the time, and I think that,
right,
even when I was young, that kind of, like, bothered me.
Yeah, I do think it's hilarious, though, that Fox News is actually dedicating any time discussing how the Lorax is, like, brainwashing our children with cartoon characters, and that it's, like, a conspiracy between President Obama and Hollywood to indoctrinate our children into supporting environmental causes and Occupy Wall Street. Like, are you kidding me, Fox News? I'm pretty sure this was Dr. Seuss's vision, not President Obama's vision, and, like, really, how does this have anything to do with Occupy Wall Street?
Nothing that Fox News surprises me anymore, because they are, in my opinion, pretty ridiculous, but...
They are ridiculous.
Yeah. But what really got me, what I genuinely did not understand about, from the marketing side of it, was how the Lorax... They had, like, a tie-in to sell cars.
I don't know. I mean...
It just...
Maybe the Lorax is trying to get people to do things so that he'll come back. I don't know.
Like,
use cars that produce smog, and then I'm going to have to come back and teach you guys a lesson.
Again.
Yeah.
That is a conspiracy. That sounds like a conspiracy that the Lorax dreamt up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me just seems like a giant, giant misstep in the marketing campaign. Like, I just, why would they think that that's a good idea to try and sell cars? And I mean, of course, they're saying, oh, these are, like, you know, fuel efficient, and I do not remember what car. I don't remember the brand of car, but
yeah, I don't either.
You know, it's meant to be, like, fuel efficient. I'm like, it doesn't matter how fuel efficient it is; it is still a vehicle that uses gas, that spews, you know, noxious fumes into the air.
Right.
And, like, it doesn't matter how fuel efficient it is or how many miles per gallon or if it's electric or hybrid or anything. Like, it's a car. What it should have been a tie-in with, like, a bike company or, you know, parks.
A reusable water
company. Yeah.
Water bottle or
whatever. It just seems stupid, and it's
kind
of offensive in my opinion, too. Anyway.
So, well, yes. I'm going to say I would give the Lorax, like, I'd give it, like, a 1 because it was cool animation, but I didn't like it. I'm sure kids would give it, like, a 5 stars, but.
Oftentimes you act like you're 12 years old, you're not actually 12.
I'm not actually, it's true, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say if you have kids, definitely take them. I think there is a good message to be learned, and I think they'll really enjoy it. But if you're an adult just going to see it because you thought, like, it'd be cool or because you love Despicable Me, like, maybe skip it. It's not that good.
Mm. Yeah, I am not a fan of animated movies, so I only see animated movies if they get really, really awesome reviews. And if I can go at a time when I know there aren't going to be a lot of kids there.
Right.
So, while Carrie went and saw a child's movie, I went and saw the opposite of a kid's movie and saw the Project X. And first I will say that there was probably, it wasn't that full, but there was, like, between, like, 20 and 30 people in the theater. I was the only female. The only female. And I double-checked a couple of times, because I was like, seriously?
Are you sure there weren't any women there with super short hair?
No. It was all, and not only was I the only female, but I'm pretty sure I'm one of the only, there was, like, a handful of people who were not college students. So the majority of the audience was made up of college boys, which is appropriate since I feel like that's pretty much the demographic that this school, that this movie is aiming at.
Uh-huh.
And all in all, I would say it's sort of a less polished, less clever version of Superbad. And honestly, I feel kind of bad for liking it. Because there is gross objectification of women, like, from start to finish, just disrespect to women across the board. I mean, boobs everywhere, women taking their tops off or wet t-shirts, jumping in the pool, lots of shots of, like, underwater, like, swimming in the pool without their tops on. The three main characters, super disrespectful to women, to their parents, to pretty much any authority figure. And the whole message of the film is your bad behavior will be rewarded. So I feel bad for saying I liked it, but I couldn't help liking it. I genuinely,
like, how is it so crazy? Like, that's what I don't understand. It's like, I'm watching this trailer and I'm like, okay, like, this entire city block or whatever is on fire, and there's, like, cars driving into pools and a million people and a little person in the oven. What is going on?
When you see it, it all makes sense. Like, it totally all makes sense when you see the movie. But you're right. It's like, so out of the realm of believable, it becomes comical. Like, everything. I wouldn't say quickly, but it gets to a point in the film where it's just like, oh, we have clearly passed beyond into the realm of pure Hollywood storytelling. Because this is so outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I found that the three lead characters were really likable. I mean, even though they were, well, the two of them anyway. The one guy was just, ugh, disgustingly horrible to women. But he was funny. He was like, he's like this short little Jewish kid with, like, a little Jewfro, and he wears sweater vests, and he goes around talking like a gangster, like, aww, acting like he's the shit. And it's just like, he's totally delusional about, you know, his cool factor. And it was hilarious. And the main character was, like, actually, I really quite enjoyed his character. He seemed kind of legit. And the other guy was sort of like a sidekick, and he didn't really say too much, but he was funny. So I really liked the three lead characters, and it was genuinely laugh out loud funny. Like, I had serious laughter, not just like chuckling, but like laughing.
Yeah.
It was really funny. And like I said before, super, super outrageous.
Huh.
But so, in the end, I would say, if you're offended by objectification of women, or if you're offended by boobs, or crude behavior by high school students, stay away. But if you like stupid, gross, kind of disgusting humor, then you'll probably like this movie. And the other thing I want to say, there was a lot of, like, scenes of the part that it was like, it basically it's just like this giant house party, and there's so many scenes of, you know, just like panning over the house, the partiers, tons of dance music going, and I really was like kind of dancing in my seat a little bit, because I'm like, yeah, I want to be at this party, I want to be there. But it kind of shows like the ugly side of partying, you know, like the super sweaty, like, especially like when they're taking drugs, like the kind of like gross, like, you know, pale look where they're really sweaty and kind of like, you know, glazed over look, you know, it really shows the kind of disgusting side of partying. So, you know, in that sense, it was realistic.
Interesting.
Not that I would know what a party like that would look like.
Right, yeah, I don't party that way.
Mm-mm. Anyway, so I would say I would probably give it a 2 out of 5. Because I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't say it's like an exemplary movie mm-hmm. on a lot of levels.
So I guess we saw 2 winners this weekend.
Although I genuinely liked my movie, whereas you did not.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, yeah. It was cool to watch, but...
Did not leave you...
Yeah, kind of boring. It didn't meet my Despicable Me expectations. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Not surprising. Because right. Despicable Me I did see, and I really... really enjoyed that a lot.
Me too.
Gotta say though,
they're making another one. It comes out next year, and I have to say they had a tiny little teaser post or trailer before the Lorax of some minions singing, and it was so cute. And I can't wait for Despicable Me 2.
I have to say though that I love Steve Carell so much more than I like Danny DeVito. So yeah, there is that too. Anyway, so now that we've talked about the movies we saw, let's talk about some of the trailers, the upcoming movies that we saw. So first, we have the chimpanzee movie that's like that Disney nature movie where it's like the
well, it's like a baby chimpanzee that gets separated right. from his family, and another chimpanzee kind of adopts him
right.
To raise him, and it looks adorable.
I know.
Like, I just...
Carrie has admitted to me more than once that she's cried a couple of times, even when watching the preview.
It was happy tears, though.
Right.
Like, it's just so adorable. I can't help myself, but... I think it looks very cute.
Right. It's your very typical, like, Disney nature movie, you know, where they kind of take nature and...
Although, I'm a little nervous. Like, I typically don't watch any nature movies because I'm always, like, convinced that I'm going to love an animal that gets eaten. So I really stay away from the Disney nature movies and really just, like, nature shows in general. But this one I might have to, like, make an exception and go see. Although, I mean, the tears probably will not stop for days if anything happens to that little baby chimpanzee.
Make sure you always have your Kleenex on you. So
I do, yeah.
I gotta say, myself, I don't love movies that humanize animals. I think it's just... this idea that, like, the animals are just like humans, they're not like humans.
Well,
they're...
I don't think this movie, though, makes it seem like they're just like humans, but...
But they give human emotions and human tendencies and human actions to animals.
Well, sure. But that,
and I don't
I mean,
like that.
To be fair, that just makes people want to watch it more.
And I,
you know?
And I recognize
I mean...
that that's why they do it.
Yeah.
But they did the same.
Although, also, to be fair, these are chimpanzees. They use tools. So, like, come on.
Chimpanzees are a little bit different because, are like, any sort
right.
of, like, you know, the simian stuff. It's a little bit
it's
different.
It's not like, although, I mean, to be fair, I'm not going to go near one. They rip your hands and faces off. Like, don't get me wrong. They are not happy little fluffy creatures
right.
that I want to play with. No.
But I think movies like this kind of give people that false sense of, like, oh, they're... human and they are like mothers, and especially that Cats movie, you know.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't either, but it was the same type of thing. They're like, oh, family, you have to protect your family, and I'm like, but they don't like care the same way that we do, you know.
Right.
Like, and to give that to them is, I think it's very disingenuous, and it bothers me. But
hey,
you know what though, I guess if it raises awareness and it raises money then for them, then great. But I won't go see it because I don't like that kind of stuff. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, moving on.
Yes, please. So, unfortunately, Nicholas Sparks has written another book that they are adapting into a movie.
Fortunately, Zac Efron will be starring in it.
Right. Like, how... 1 minute Zac Efron is starring in High School Musical... And the next
right.
minute, he is, like, this
the hottest guy on the planet.
Yes, starring in this terrible Nicholas Sparks novel.
I know. Oh my god. I hate Nicholas Sparks.
And
movies based on his books, because he kills off the main character all the freaking time.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if you haven't seen any of these movies or read any of these books, but let's just run them down here. A Walk to Remember, main character, Mandy Moore, dies.
Mm-hmm.
Message in a Bottle. What was that one? Kevin Costner?
Yep.
Barf. Dies. what was that one with Diane Lane and Richard Gere? Richard Gere dies.
Yeah.
Someone dies in, like, all of them.
And
it drives me crazy.
And he is a master, like, emotional manipulator. And I don't like that.
He's like, that's what he does.
He's like, I'm going to make every woman in this audience cry. Like, yes. that's like his goal when he writes his dang books. I guess he doesn't. But he knows. Like, he knows when he writes a book, it's going to be turned into a movie. Because Hollywood just eats that shit up.
Although I have to say, so I saw this trailer, right? And immediately, like, I'm like, oh my god, I am going to see this. I'm sorry if you're a woman in the world today and you saw that trailer and said you don't want to see this movie,
yeah.
You're lying. You're lying to me. You're lying to yourself.
And you're probably not actually a woman.
Probably not. But, so I see the trailer. I know I must see this movie. So I did run out to my local Half Price Books and buy the book.
Thank God you didn't buy that full price.
Oh, are you kidding me? Please.
Yeah, not Nicholas Sparks.
And I did not like the book. I thought the story had real promise, so I think they can turn it into a good movie.
Don't get your hopes up.
Happily, I did find out that Zac Efron will not die in this movie, and I don't feel bad about spoiling that for people, because that's a question that's going to be on a lot of people's minds if they've ever seen another Nicholas Sparks movie.
I feel like there are a lot of people that will be happy to hear that.
I agree.
But I gotta say, the trailer, it included the four things that Nicholas Sparks loves best. Boats, preferably rowboat.
Yes, boats.
War. some war happenings. Rain. Things happening in the rain. And preferably two characters standing in the rain, like having an intense conversation or yelling or being passionate with each other. And hot sex.
Yep.
So, it's sort of definitely your standard issue, Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yep. But, God. I gotta tell you,
just ladies.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna be awesome.
Ladies, watch this preview. Just, you will not regret it.
Must watch it.
Oh, it's that amazing. That one scene when she, like, sticks her hand down. Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay.
And then, when they're getting ready to get into bed and you see him full on from the back.
Oh my god.
It's amazing.
Okay, here, we gotta move on. It's getting a little
Let's move on,
here.
Yeah. Let's move on. Moving on to Wrath of the Titans. So, imagine my enjoyment as we're discussing what we're gonna talk about this week. And Anna writes down that she thinks we should talk about the trailer for Wrath of the Titans. Doesn't it look an awful lot like Clash of the Titans? Is this a sequel? Yes! It's a sequel.
I just couldn't believe that they were making a sequel of such a shitty movie.
Oh, I know. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, I don't know. I hope they make this one better. I did not like the first one, and I'm glad I didn't pay the premium to see it in 3D, because I heard that was awful, but...
I don't remember if I saw that. If I saw it in 3D, but I can't remember if I actually paid to see it in 3D. And I hope I did.
One of those.
Because it was totally
Knights in Rodanthe. That's the...
What?
Diane Lane. Knights in Rodanthe.
Oh, yeah. I knew
that's
the
Diane
funny
Lane
name.
One. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. yeah, I'm sure it'll be just as awful. And I won't see it. So... But if there was anybody wondering...
You know, if it gets amazing reviews and people are saying it's great, I'll go see it.
Okay, fine. If then, I would. But it has to be like at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, else I'm not even going
to
bother.
Be fair, actually, if they were saying it's pretty mediocre, I might still go see it.
See, I would not. Even if it was mediocre. Just because I'm so irritated that they're even making a sequel from that the original mediocre movie.
Yeah, so you can go ahead. I don't know. I mean, it's got Liam Neeson, it's got Ralph Fiennes, it's got Sam Worthington. I love all of them, so no. I might still go.
On principle, I won't go.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can go ahead and go see it and then review it for us.
Right. But I will only go see it if people are saying it's good.
Mediocre.
Or mediocre.
Come on, let's be honest.
I know.
Okay, the last one we're going to talk about is... when I went and saw... The one advantage of going seeing Project X is they had, like, an extended... I don't even know what... It wasn't really a trailer, but it had a bunch of, like, little clips from 21 Jump Street. And it was... Oh, God, it was funny. It was funny. And I'm happy to report that earlier today I saw that Rotten Tomatoes has it at 100%. That was only after 6 reviews, but that is such a good sign. And I'm really excited.
You know, the first time I saw that trailer and I laughed all the way through it, I was like, oh, I feel bad that I'm laughing through this whole thing because it just looks so ridiculous. But it's like, the more I see it, the more I laugh, and the more I am dying to see it. Like, I just think it looks hilarious.
Yes.
Ugh. And I think, you know, the chemistry between Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum is so great. Like, just their banter between each other and... You know, neither of them really being, like, fully functional as a police officer.
Or as a human being.
Up. Yeah. So I am really excited to see it.
Like I said, I love Jonah Hill. I was definitely going to go see it anyway. And I've already liked Channing Tatum, so...
I don't like him so much, but maybe I will after this. I know. Who knows? It could happen.
All right, that sort of wraps up the sort of upcoming movies that we may or may not see. So, what are we going to see this weekend?
Well, I'm planning on seeing 2 movies this weekend, maybe. I do have a pretty jam-packed weekend with my Hunger Games trip, but I would definitely like to see John Carter, which I think is either going to be great or a horrible bomb.
Does that have Taylor Kitsch in it, right?
Yes.
Friday Night Lights. Yeah, I do love him.
Yep, me too. So I have high hopes for it. Although, you know, some of the creatures look really weird. And
don't be scared, Kelly.
I'm not scared, but I don't like it when things are too weird. But, you know, I think it'll be cool. As long as they pull it off and don't make it too, like...
Yeah.
I hate it when things look too video gamey, I hope they stay out of that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty ambivalent about that movie. I'm not, like, I don't really care either way about it. I mean, if it gets good reviews, like, really good reviews, then maybe I go see it, but otherwise, I'm not that crazy. It's not really high on my list.
I'm actually probably gonna see it regardless of what any reviews say.
Alright, good to know.
Yeah.
And I think a movie we're probably both going to see this weekend is Friends with Kids.
Yes.
I'm absolutely going to be seeing that movie this weekend.
I'm just very interested to see how it ends.
Yep.
You know, like, yep.
I agree.
Romantic me in my heart of hearts really wants them to end up together. So.
I have a feeling that will happen if it's any sort of, like, formulaic Hollywood romantic comedy, but I don't know. Who knows?
They could switch it up. Who knows?
I mean, I'm not...
But even if
really...
they don't, I mean, that cast is hilarious.
I know. I don't really have high hopes for the ending, but I'm... Because, you know, rom-com endings are usually pretty weak. But, yes, I am excited about... I'm super excited about this movie, so...
Me too.
This weekend, I didn't really care. I mean, I was excited to see Predator, but not like I'm excited to see Friends with Kids.
Right.
So, cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up the podcast, unless you have anything else you want to say, Carrie?
No, I think I'm good to go.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week to hear what we have to say about the movies we see this weekend. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at... 2 Women, 1 Movie. both numbers. 2 and 1 are numbers. Yeah.
And enjoy your weekend at the movies.